He lives in the shul. I'm just lying in some random street corner. Let's say you haven't been yotzei mitzvah. Forget the duplication. If you don't have a house, you're not mekayim the mitzvah. Nerev shubeisu. Mitzvah l'necha pesach beisu mibachutz. The Gemara says, achsanai, you think he's pater, so there he can be mishtate pepruta. But the whole premise of the achsanai sugi of the guest is that since you don't have a house, it's like market, it's like mezuzah, if you don't have a house, you're not yotzei mitzvah. So the whole process of lighting in shul is very strange, because it doesn't accord with the classic mitzvah, and we take it very seriously to the point where we recite a bracha. Now, interestingly enough, this doesn't appear in Shas. The first appearance of lighting in shul is in the days of the Gaonim, about 1,000 years ago, late Gaonim, early Rishonim. So I'll just share two approaches in Rishonim to try to make sense of this halacha. The first approach, and they're both very interesting, not just Alpi Halacha, but Alpi Machshava also. The first approach is that, and this is taken by a 13th century French rishon named the Sefer HaManhig, Ben Reuven HaYarchi. He lived in the town of Lunil, which was a French town. The word Lunil in French means moon. So it's called Reuven HaYarchi, from the town of the moon, Yarchi, Yerech. He says that the lighting in shul is meant to try to perpetuate the sense of Beis HaMikdash. That's where the nes was centered. It was the pachshemen of the menorah. So we no longer have the Beis HaMikdash, but our Batei Knesses have a status of a Beis Mikdash Ma'at. In fact, there'll be halacha. There's certain halachas you're not allowed to pull a stone out of a shul, because it's an Isra of Lotasum Kein Lashem Elokechem according to some Rishonim. It's not just that we treat it like a Beis Mikdash, but they're really certain. And when you dismantle a shul, you have some real considerations. When we learn, I think we're going to learn Bava Basra next year, if I'm not mistaken, this next on the rotation. We learn Bava Basra, Dav Ches. So, excuse me, Dav Dalet, Gimel. Gimel and Beis has a whole question. So how to dismantle a shul? So we don't have the base of Mikdash, but based on the pasuk in Yecheskel, Perach Chav Zayin, Hashem tells Yecheskel, Vo'ei lohem mikdash me'at. You won't have the base of Mikdash, but I'll still be a mikdash me'at. Chazal interpret that. One of the interpretations is that the shul has the status of a mini base of Knesset. So we want to not just light Ner Chanukah Zecher, the base of Mikdash. We want to try to actually duplicate the Hadlaka in the base Knesses, which is a little bit like the Beis HaMikdash. And there are several halachos that seem to suggest this. Most prominently, the two halachos quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Where do you place the menorah in shul?
Southern
wall, which again, in America, would probably be, you know, angled to the Aron HaKodesh. If the Aron HaKodesh is east, so the southern wall would be perpendicular to it. And Eretz Yisrael, depending on where you are, so that's why in Yeshiva, we don't put it on the southern wall, it'd be too hard to see, but we put it to the south part of the Beis Medrash. The north being Yushalayim, south part of the Beis Medrash. Why? Why the southern part? Because that's where it was in the Beis HaMikdash. Shulchan Aruch actually says it. I want to point out. And in fact, not just the placement, but also the vectoring. Does anyone know how it's vectored? Is it vectored north-south or east-west?
East-west.
Right, so Shulchan Aruch Paskin's east-west, because that's the way it was in the Beis HaMikdash also, at least Mishnah Berurah says. So again, in our yeshiva, we have both. It's on the southern wall, but it's not vectored north-south. It's vectored east-west. And I was very mocked on that 15 years ago. They put it north-south. So they don't turn it around, make it east-west. The fascinating part is that evidently, not only is the hadlaka in the Beis HaKnesses an attempt to try to recreate the hadlaka in the Beis HaMikdash, but even in our homes, there are certain Rishonim that feel that even in your home, the hadlakas menorah is not just a mitzvah, but it's an attempt to capture the hadlaka of the Beis HaMikdash. But basically, two or three halachas in Rishonim. One halacha, come on Nathan, we'll give some food soon. One halacha in Rishonim is a very, very famous Balamor. The Midrash Gemara says in Shabbos, Daf Chaf Aleph and Mem Aleph, Asur lat sur yamos kenegan Ner Chanukah. You're not allowed to get hana from Ner Chanukah. That's very, very strange. Because typically, when it comes to objects of a mitzvah, you're allowed to get hana. When you finish using the shofar and it's no longer Rosh Hashanah, you can use the shofar as a straw. During the time that you can blow a shofar, you shouldn't be trivializing about the shofar, but there's no inherent kedusha to a mitzvah. You can use the lulav as a baseball bat if you want. There's not, people have a minute to save their pesach. I throw it in the garbage. It's because it's going to get lost anyway. Just when Yom Tov, people, you have to be careful not to be mevazeh. It's called bizu a mitzvah. So Ner Chanukah is a chavitz of a mitzvah. Why should there be an isser hana? So the Rishonim really struggled to explain why you can't use the Ner Chanukah. That's why you have the Shabbos. But the Baal HaMor, we quoted the Baal HaMor a lot this year, Ben Zrachia Halevi said that since our Neros at home, not just in Shul, But our neiros in home is zecher lemikdash. There's an isser me'ila from the oil, just like there's an isser me'ila from the oil of mikdash. You can buy oil in your local Pathmark or your local ShopRite, which was pressed in Spain or in Greece, and it nothing to do with the base of mikdash. The second you place it into the menorah and you recite a bracha and you designate it as Ner Chanukah, that oil now becomes hektish, and you can't get hana, which is an astounding balamor. The isser to get hana from the Ner Chanukah is not an isser, it's based on it being hektish. And the truth is, now you understand what we say, Hanera Salalo. Doesn't say Aser Haim. What's the language? Hanera Salalo? Kodesh Haim. Ve'elan Urishus. It's a very strange language. Well, what do you mean Kodesh Haim? It's based on this balamor that the Shemin has Kedushas Neros. Second issue is a Ravid. The Ravid says, what bracha should you recite on Ner Chanukah in your home? Not even the Beis HaKnesses. What bracha should you recite on Ner Chanukah? Should you recite Lahadlik or should you recite Al? Now there's a Machlokas, a Gemara Psachim. Which brachas we recite Le, Meshev Basuka. Which brachas we recite Al Matil Sedayim, Al Mitzvah. Machlokas Ben Atam and the Ramban. But Ner Chanukah doesn't fit into any of those classic categories. So the Ravid says, very fascinating Ravid, says that since in the Beis HaMikdash they made the bracha lahadlik on the menorah, when the Kohen lit the menorah, he made the bracha lahadlik, we sustain that bracha in our Ner Chanukah. Because we're trying to capture, it doesn't go as far as the balamor, the Shemin as Kedisha, but the Nusach HaBracha in your homes, the Nusach HaBracha shares the Nusach HaBracha in the Beis HaMikdash. The third Rishon that talks about a Beis HaMikdash element in your Hadlaka at home is a Rashi. The Gemara in Shabbos has a machlokas whether Hadlaka osa mitzvah or Hanacha osa mitzvah. I'm sure those of you who have read the Gemara, it's a very basic machlokas. What if Chereshot HaBekatim were to light a Ner Chanukah and a Gadol were to place it in the Pesach HaBayis? That'd be one nafkamina. So if you hold Hanacha osa mitzvah, so who cares who lights it as long as the Gadol places it B'makom Pesu Minisa. But if you hold Hadlaka osa mitzvah, then the Gadol has to actually light it. A lot of nafkaminas. Why would you say hadlaka osa mitzvah? After all, if the whole mitzvah is pursuing minisa, who cares about the mitzvah hadlaka? You just be mefarsim the nes. So that has a lot of answers to that. I'm not saying it's an obvious question. You can say maybe the mitzvah is twofold. There's a mitzvah hadlaka and there's pursuing minisa. But Rashi, on daf chav beis amid beis, when he explains the mandi amar, that hadlaka osa mitzvah, he says, mita dehavi b'mikdash. Beis hamikdash, you don't just place the menorah. You have to actually light the menorah. It's part of the avodah's Beis HaMikdash. So since we're trying to recreate the Beis HaMikdash, not just in shul, but in our homes, so there's a maisa adlaka, l'man diyama adlaka, as a mitzvah, that's how we paskin, so we say l'hadlik. So the point is, that even in our homes, we're trying to recreate Beis HaMikdash. But certainly, in the one place which is closest to Beis HaMikdash, like the Beis Knesset Ma'at, certainly we're trying to recreate, which is what the Manik says. And that's why, again, here in Yeshiva, it's a little bit difficult. And this is really, to me, it's very sad because since Chanukah is in the winter, most of the time the Hadlaka in the Beis HaKnesses is very, very poorly attended. Right? You're at work during Chanukah, you light when you come home, but the Hadlaka in the Beis HaKnesses takes place around 5 o'clock, which is Mincha Maariv. Who's around 4 or 5 o'clock Mincha Maariv during the weekday in a regular shul? Older people, retired people. How many people? I haven't been in your shuls, but imagine if you walked into Rinat or whatever, or any of these shuls, middle of the week, Mincha Maariv, and how many people are there?
100?
Yeah, I think a lot of people work at home, maybe.
It's
what?
It's the biggest youngest.
Right. No, I'm not blaming anyone. Everyone's at work. I'm just saying it's very sensitive. Whenever I speak on Chanukah, before Chanukah, I tell people that even if you can't be there during the week, at least try to be makbid on Friday, Shabbos, and Sunday to come to Shul for Mincha Maariv, to at least get this kiyum of Hadlaka, not just in theory, symbolically like the Beis HaMikdash, but actually. So one day, really, I try to be in shul every night Chanukah to hear the Hadlaka, to take it seriously. It's not just a minhag. And of course, we try to stretch that Beis HaMikdash element to our homes. The second thing, and this is what the Rav amplified, again, it's also based on, is it based on the Manik? I think it's also based on the Manik, but it's fascinating. It's fascinating culturally with a big, big halachic reveal. So please listen carefully. The Rav said that Pursu Minisa in shul, Hadlaka's near Chanukah in shul, is because there are two tracks of Pursu Minisa. There's Pursu Menisa for Yechidim, and there's Pursu Menisa for Tzibor. We want to provide Pursu Menisa not just to individuals who happen to be watching, but to a group of Jews that have assembled for a Davar Shebikdusha as a Tzibor, as a minion. There's a separate halacha for Suminisa to a minion of Jews. So in theory, let's say you have a family of 50 people, and your shul only has 20 people. It's still better. I mean, there's still halacha for Suminisa in shul that you can't accomplish at home. Because at home, you may have 50 people standing in the room, but they're 50 individuals. In shul, those 10 or 11 individuals have assembled for a minion. Since they've assembled for a minion, you're now being mefarsim the nais in front of 10 Jews who have achieved the unique status of an Eda, of Jews who have assembled for a minion. And the Rav uses this to explain two very interesting halachas and one very interesting psak, which I don't think people take seriously enough, and I'm very, very makbid about it when I see it. When I can, I don't try to make a big deal about it. Number one, very famous kasha. Remember, I was close with a very big gadol, and he didn't like the fact that I went to a Hesder yeshiva because he was from Europe, and in his mind, you weren't wearing a black hat, you were meaningless, they just didn't understand this world. And he gave me a lot of grief. We're visiting him a lot. Remember, part of the change was we were walking home Hanukkah night, Matzah Shabbos, and he said, I never understood, how come in home, what do you do first, Havdalah or Ner Hanukkah?
No,
which is the logical approach, first and Shabbos, and then light Ner Hanukkah. Somehow in Shul, Ner Hanukkah precedes Havdalah. Why? Shita Satas. Why? Never had a good explanation for it. The shul seems counterindicated. It seems counterlogical. Why would you make Havdalah after Ner Chanukah in shul? So the Rav explained, because the Hadlaka in shul is a persume nisa in front of a tzibur, you want to be madlik neros before the tzibur has disbanded. If you already make Havdalah and you're too close to the end of davening, then even though they're all standing in place, they'll lose their status as a tzibur because you finished davening already because they no longer have anything to daven for. Therefore, you want to pre-schedule Hadlakas Ner Chanukah as early as you can. And the Rav said that in Brisk, they actually lit Ner Chanukah right after Shmon Esrei, before Vihinam. They would end Shmon Esrei, everyone would be quiet. They'd light Ner Chanukah, then they'd say Vihinam in Kaddish, the end of Tefillah Kaddish. Even before Kaddish, I think. Because they still wanted to maintain the integrity of the Tzibor, that they're gathered as a minion for Devash Shebekdusha, so that the Persumenisa could be a Persumenisa for tzibur, not just for 50 people, 1,000 people in shul, but if they've already finished davening, so at home, you don't have that issue. At home, you're being mefarsim the nais for individuals. So make Havdalah, the light near Chanukah. But in shul, we're going to be mefarsim the nais for tzibur. Second thing the Rav said, you need a tzibur of people there. The Rav told stories that in Boston, when he was the rabbi in Boston, Chanukah always falls during the winter. Erev Shabbos, very hard to get a minion if you're in Boston in the 1950s or 60s. Not like Woodmere where people are filing in. The Rav says many times that they didn't light Ner Chanukah. They only lit Ner Chanukah very, very close to Shkia. Namely, they would daven Mincha, and then they'd wait for the 10th person to come. And until they had 10 people in shul, and sometimes it went down to the wire because, again, it was Friday, 4 o'clock, people are still making their way home, making their way to shul. Hopefully not making their way home, but making their way to shul. And if you didn't have a tzibur, the Rav Paskin, you shouldn't light in the... Again, you can light, but you shouldn't make a bracha. Because the bracha is that second element of Persumei Nisa, Bifnei Tzibur Anashim. And because of this, the Rav felt, this is something I see people taking very, very lightly, you should never make a bracha on Hadlakas Ner Chanukah if it's performed in public, unless it's performed in front of a tzibur that's gathering for Davar Shebekdusha, namely for tefillah. The Rav is very, very opposed to public lighting of the menorah with a bracha. People are very, very at bar mitzvahs and weddings and of course lavabits on street corners. And there's a funny scene in Israel, which of course is a very, you can talk to Israeli friends about it every year. There's a big home game for the big Israeli team that plays in Tel Aviv. Anyone know the name of the big Israeli team in Tel Aviv? Maccabi Tel Aviv. A great home game to have on Hanukkah, right? Maccabi. And who do you think they invite for this special home game when every single kid is home for a week and wants to go to the game or watch it on television? Which team do you think they host?
The Greeks.
The Greeks. Olympiakos or Panathinaikos. And they call out the Israeli team and these kids come. The stadium is rocking with 25,000 people with their toy swords and their helmets. Kill the Greeks, kill the Greeks. And then Israelis, and now you're Maccabim, yeah! And these are all NBA washouts, you know. None of them are Jewish. There's only one Jew on the team because they have to have an Israeli Jew on the team. And you know who he is because he's the one that rides the bench. You get all the NBA washouts. They get most of the playing time. But this is his time to shine because he comes out to midcourt before the game begins. Baruch atah. You know, he doesn't really know what he's doing, but they put a big kippah on him and he lights a menorah. And then after he lights a menorah, and now the Greeks. Like, talk about racism. And talk about, you know, throwing people to the guillotine on Hanukkah in Tel Aviv, playing the Maccabi. And these also, the Greeks are also not Greeks. They're NBA washouts. They're assigned to play on Greek teams. And the kids start screaming and throwing their swords and throwing cans of beer and they're making fun of the Greeks. And when I see this, I say, first of all, it's blatant racism. But aside from that, it's also the rub is turning over in his grave because they're making a bracha without people gathering for a minyan. And what's cute about it is when the Rav wrote about it, this is a famous, those who know the Rav's Torah, he says, he's very opposed to the minhag of lighting Ner Chanukah with a bracha in the Beaver Lodge. Do you guys even know what that is? You know what a Beaver Lodge is? In the 60s and 70s, 50s, 60s and 70s, especially in smaller cities, there was something called a men's club, where men would gather and they would smoke and drink and watch sports, and like men's clubs, men's gathering spaces. And very often these were called the Beaver Lodge and the Deer Lodge. And so evidently, in Boston, the Jewish people had a men's club called the Beaver Lodge. And every Hanukkah, they'd get together for rest and recreation, and they'd start their, you know, gathering by lighting Ner Chanukah. So the Rav actually writes, he's very opposed to what he heard, that they light Ner Chanukah in the Beaver Lodge. Like something right out of the 50s, you know, the corduroy pants and the long pipes. So anyway, that was the Rav's second mahalach for why we light in the Beis HaKnesses, because that is a location where Tzibur assembles, and we want to be mefarsim the neis, not just tiyachidim, but for Tzibur. So to summarize, there are two primary reasons, apilamdus, why we light in the Beis HaKnesses. Either because we want to try to capture the element of mikdash, which is latent even at home, but is certainly more vibrant in shul, or number two, because we want to be mefarsim in front of a tzibur, not just in front of yechidim. Either way, hopefully you'll have a chance, as best as you can, to be part of the hadlaka of the tzibur. Again, during the weekday, certainly in college, when you're working, it's really hard, but certainly on the weekend, during the weekends, try to be in shul. Okay, this brings us